Welcome to episode number 49 of the Mastering Marriage Podcast, where our goal is to strengthen, unite, and restore your marriage. My name is Amanda Taylor, and together with my husband, David, we are the co-founders of MendOurMarriage.com, and our goal is to break the back of divorce by bringing married couples together to be accountable, keep the passion alive, and destroy the hidden issues that try to rip marriages apart. And we are back in the booth today. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy V-Day.
With me, of course, Amanda Taylor, and with my co-host, my husband, my boo, David Taylor.
What's up, everybody?
This we're is back. The day after Valentine's Day.
Well, it's going out the day after Valentine's Day, correct? Yeah. But we're recording on Valentine's Day, so happy belated Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
For you guys. And we would like to say welcome. Welcome to episode number 49 of the Mastering Marriage Podcast. This today is going to be part two of a three-part series. And remember, we're talking about the six stages of marriage. So if you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen to episode number 48 before you listen to this particular episode, because we're going to be building off of the information that we discussed in that previous episode. But before we get into today's episode, I would just like to say this episode, episode number 49, is brought to you on behalf of which book you want to spotlight today. Let's spotlight your book, Motivated to Love, the Amazon best-selling Motivated to Love. I mean, this book has been changing thousands and thousands and thousands of marriages, literally. So when I say thousands and thousands and thousands, I really mean that. And we are fortunate to be able to help those who are looking for the resources that are in Motivated to Love. You can go to motivated2love.com to check out that book. You will not be disappointed.
No, you won't.
I mean, right now, I think it's like 51 five-star reviews on Amazon. Like, everybody who's gotten their hands on this book has been blown away. So check it out. Motivated2love.com if you would like to get your hands on it. All right, guys. So we got a lot of information to cover today.
We really do.
And so, again, like I said, we talked about in episode number 48, stages one and two of the six stages of marriage.
Right.
And today we're going to talk about stages three and four. And you're going to get a lot of juicy nuggets, so be prepared to take some notes. So let's go ahead and do a brief recap, though, of a few of the key points that we talked about in part one, which was episode number 48. And then we're going to dive in and really like break some things apart. So, all right. So remember, having a healthy marriage cannot and will not happen on accident. Okay, a healthy marriage is a skill that you must cultivate with these three things. You need time, education, and experience, right? So these three things must be cultivated in order to grow your marriage.
Right.
And increase the skill of having a healthy marriage. Mm-hmm. Think of your marriage as a plant that can only grow when it's cultivated.
Right.
And, right, a plant has, it needs soil.
Needs water.
Water, sunlight,
yes.
And the conditions to be right in order for the plant to grow. So think of your marriage like that. As we focused on the education tier in episode 48, we discussed the first two stages of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there's three tiers, time, education, and experience. So we focused on the education tier in the last episode. And then we're going to do the same thing in this episode. So episode 48, we spotlighted stages one and two of the six stages of marriage. Stage one is called the love addict stage.
Yes.
That's where you get the crazies going on in your
full
brain.
Of physical attraction, mm-hmm. and romance.
Romance. And in this stage, you're usually more physically and sexually attracted.
Yeah.
And you have this whole dopamine effect going on in your brain where all the chemicals are being triggered and you're kind of like out of control
just
and
like
crazy.
Just like a drug addict, pretty
just
much.
Like a drug. Exactly.
No, it is. Like, yeah. Really?
Like, really. So check out that first stage. And then stage two, we call the mirror stage. And this was an interesting stage because mm-hmm. here we talk about how men have two primary areas of vulnerability and women have one. We also discussed the three ways that people deal with conflicts at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talked about power struggles. Mm-hmm. and that the first feelings of reluctance often happens in this stage. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of stuff going on in the first two stages of most relationships. Right. And you want to go ahead and check that out in episode number 48. Make sure to go back and look at that, because today we're going to go even deeper.
Right.
So let's go ahead and jump into stage three of the six stages of marriage. And then we're going to conclude with the stage four.
All right. Let's
ready?
Go.
So let's go. Stage three of marriage is called the reluctance stage. Yeah, I know. Reluctance. I wrote a whole book about it. This stage is a byproduct of what happens in stage two. Remember, in stage two, we discussed the fact that we all wear masks when we come into relationships. Those masks that we wear are our ideal selves, or who we want others to see us as.
Right.
And as those masks start to wear off, our true selves are revealed. Mm-hmm. And your true self is full of bad habits, strange quirks, and often those things that you're the most embarrassed by. Mm-hmm. So if you are naturally a gassy person, mm-hmm. that's part of your ideal, your true self.
Yeah.
You can hold it in on your first date, though.
Stinky feet.
Yeah, if your feet stink. No, seriously, like, that's part of who you really are.
Right.
You ain't going to let your first time date person know that your feet stink. Your first time date person, I put that one together.
That
it just came
one.
Off the top.
A Davidism.
But for real, all those things that you're embarrassed by, that is your true self. This is the person that you are insecure about, and you seek to keep this person hidden.
Right.
So, okay, so think about this. Like, usually, when you first met your spouse, you looked at them, you were all excited and got the butterflies and, the bubbly guts. You were a little nervous, sweaty
wow.
palms.
The guts, though.
Yeah, that happens. And then eventually, over time, when you look at them, let's say after year one of marriage, like it was with us,
yeah.
Instead of getting the butterflies, all of a sudden they begin to reflect back to you your true self. And something happens at this stage, right? When your true self is reflected back to you, something happens that causes you to begin to grow reluctant. Instead, now you get a strong sense of insecurity and discomfort. When you look at that person, you lose the sense of validation that you once got when you kind of looked at them and got the bubbly guts and the butterflies and you was all feeling good about yourself. Now you don't feel validated. Instead, you feel exposed because those things that you tried to keep hidden, your spouse is reflecting back to you. Mm-hmm. So that exposure is something that is very discomforting and you try to avoid it. Now, instead of giving, you protect yourself.
That's good.
And the protection is the fear of you being hurt, the fear of you being exposed. And that's so strange, but it's so true. Mm-hmm. Now you don't feel safe and secure with this person. Now you feel the need to protect yourself. Now, of course, this process is subconscious, and it's not something that you actually give a lot of thought about. Instead, you rationalize that your partner has started to change. Mm-hmm. I remember saying those things to you, mm-hmm. That you changed.
I remember. Yeah, definitely.
And
I started to become insecure because of that, because I started to question myself.
Mm.
And so then that made me be someone else,
mm-hmm.
which then it's almost like it was.
It perpetuates the problem.
Yeah, it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh my gosh, it's so
tricky. It was
tricky.
Like he spoke it into me.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because at this point, there's no longer an interest in loving selflessly. Because of all of the insecurities and the exposure to the pains, at this point, your interest is only in loving yourself and validating yourself. Because after all, your partner no longer does it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're not getting the validation from your partner, who validates you? Mm-hmm. Well, now I got to validate myself. And part of me leaving the relationship for an emotional affair was all about validating myself. Mm-hmm. And so that's something to really, really take into mind. In stage three, instead of seeing all of the ways that you fit together, you begin to see all of the ways that you are extremely different. Mm-hmm. Instead of seeing what is right, you begin to only see what is wrong with the relationship.
That's a total turnaround.
Total turnaround.
The love addict stage.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Because the love addict stage, it was all about what's right, how we fit together. This person is like my ideal match. I mean,
perfect.
Wow, we finish each other's sentences, and now all of a sudden,
perfect.
I can't stand the fact that Well, we'll get into some details in a minute. But it's just, this happens. And as I'm talking, as Mandy and I are kind of having this conversation with each other, I want you to find yourself in this conversation as well. Think about it from your vantage point, okay? Think of it like this. The very things that you loved about this person began to be the very things that drive you apart. Here's an example of this. So let's say when you first met them, they were extremely spontaneous and energetic. They had a carefree attitude about themselves. They were unbothered by most things. But now after a year of marriage and living with them, now you notice that they seem to be almost apathetic. Like they don't really care about most things and that they're too spontaneous. They have no structure. So when there's something that comes up that requires structure, you feel that they are unable to contribute to that situation. And all of a sudden, it creates issues. It becomes something that's problematic and painful.
Right.
And as humans, we're pain-avoiding, pleasure-seeking creatures.
Exactly.
And so when there's something painful that comes up in the relationship, we often seek to avoid those things. We have found that most people don't want out of the relationship, but instead they want out of the pain that is produced by this process. It's very important to understand the distinction. This happened very quickly with Mandy and I, by the way, right? When we first met, Mandy was, I'm putting Mandy on the chopping block.
That's all right. Watch how I do this. That's all right. Go ahead.
Watch how I do this. Mandy was extremely witty and confident.
It's true.
She had a sexy allure to her that was very magnetic and enticing. Mm-hmm. You know, like one look, raise of the eyebrow, got you. She got me, right? This was what initially attracted me to her. But quickly after we started dating, I began to see this confident and witty disposition as bossy.
That's too bossy.
Yeah. We would go to her parents' house and or her hometown, and I would always feel like around her family, she just was bossy. What changed? Was she really too bossy, or was it something in my perception that changed? Think about that for a second. Now, as a result of me criticizing her bossy nature, right? As a result of me criticizing that, it caused her to become very insecure. It was almost like an overnight change. One day she was witty, the next day she was bossy. And her bossy demeanor provoked something inside of me that caused me to criticize her witty nature. Mm-hmm. And as a result, because Mandy wanted to please me, she lost sight of herself and became insecure. That's crazy.
She
completely lost sight of the confident person she used to be, causing me, now watch this, guys, causing me to lose my attraction for the insecure person that she had become.
And I can just add this. It's just so interesting because I put that trust in him because I prayed and I asked God, is this my husband? And then I even told David at one point, I can see you as being my leader.
That's all I need to hear.
And so when it went from him seemingly loving everything about me and then to him not, then I was conflicted because I'm like, okay, God, you put him over me as my leader and my covering. And I positioned David in a position to be like a spiritual covering over me and like teacher almost, because I learned a lot from him spiritually. So when he called things out in me, I trusted him, and so I made changes accordingly. I didn't feel like I was losing myself at the time, but I really was.
And just like that, the relationship was in trouble.
It sure was.
And we weren't even married yet. That's the beauty and the ugly side of it, is that we weren't even married. This was while we were
engaged.
Courting.
Actually, while we were courting, and then when we got engaged.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Another interesting note about this stage is the fact that two points start to emerge out of the conflicts that people are experiencing in this stage. The first is this. The first point is the incorrect belief that our happiness and the success of the relationship are determined by what our spouse says and does.
I know some people are not going to like that.
They ain't going to like it, but it's a lie from the pit of hell. Y'all know that. Now quit playing. Your happiness is not found in what your partner thinks about you or says about you or believes about you. This thought is extremely dangerous because it keeps the focus off of you changing and places it only onto your partner.
Now I'll take it even a step further. It takes the responsibility off of you to grow.
Yes.
Not necessarily change, like change to someone that you're not, but to grow forward.
Yes, that's good. I like that. The harsh reality of the matter is that all relationship change begins with you. Not your spouse. It begins with you. So if you want to see a change in your relationship, it has to start with you first. How do I, that doesn't even make sense. Start with you first. Because the fact that it's starting with you means that it's first. I added the first in there. Anyway, that's just me, y'all. Don't judge me. So this is a truth that you can't overlook and a powerful paradigm to have if you're looking to truly impact your relationship and your overall personal well-being in a positive way.
And it takes you being selfless.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. And it takes you being objective, being honest with the truth. Right. Most people aren't honest with what's true about them, hence the reason why they wear masks. The second point is that many of the conflicts, both small and large, that we face in this third stage can't be resolved until we put serious time and energy into our relationship. Most people believe that their relationships are just going to grow on their own. It takes energy. It takes effort.
Yes.
It takes being proactive. And if we don't, it takes being intentional. If we don't invest the time and energy into our relationships, they're just not going to grow. I'm sorry.
It doesn't just happen. There's a lot of people that believe that if you love someone, you're supposed to be with them. It's supposed to come naturally.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know where people get that from. Maybe because they watch it in the movies.
Yeah.
And they watch it on
and it's a fantasy.
Read it. You know, it is a fantasy.
It's what we believe because people naturally believe that they are good and that they deserve good things. We naturally believe that we deserve to be loved unconditionally. And so when we don't get it, we say, well, I deserve it.
So I'm not giving until I get it.
So I'm not going to give until oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just crazy
and
how that happens.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And it often ends with stage four happening, which we'll get to in a minute. This is deep, y'all. So that means that it is very possible for you to get stuck in the reluctant stage, as getting out means that you have to be intentional. And if you're not intentional, if you think that things are just going to naturally work themselves out, then your end's going to be stuck here for a while.
And working this stuff out, it hurts.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah. 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 Speaking of getting stuck and the fact that it's not easy, there are 7 different issues that often arise while in stage 3 that really makes it really difficult. So let's go over these 7 different issues. And I want you, as you're listening to these, to see if you're experiencing any of these. Because this can be a telltale sign that you're stuck in stage 3. So the first issue is boredom. This is where life gets too predictable.
Yes.
Where you get stuck in a rut, right? You wake up 5:00, get dressed, get on the road, get stuck in rush hour traffic, get to work for 8 hours, get stuck in the same rush hour traffic, come home, sit down, eat a Hot Pocket. I don't know. Just came to my mind.
Eat dinner
in front of the TV, veg out, go to bed, wake up and do it all over again. Many of you are stuck in this rut and the relationship becomes bored. It becomes routine. It becomes monotonous. That's what caused Mandy and I to relocate from Indiana because we were stuck in a rut. We needed some excitement, something different.
But there was more.
There was more. The second issue is depression. Now, I'm not talking about being clinically depressed, even though that could be a part of it. I'm talking about symptoms of depression. This is a byproduct of being stuck for too long without having your high expectations of marriage answered in the first place. So many of you guys get disappointed, and disappointment often breeds depression because you turn inward.
That's good.
The third issue. Thank you, baby. The third issue is betrayal. This happens when spouses shift from loving unconditionally to conditionally. Most affairs usually happen at this point. And Mandy talked about this earlier. You know, you now, instead of loving unconditionally, you're loving yourself or protecting yourself. And so you withhold love and you only give it when they meet certain criteria.
And betrayal doesn't have to be an affair. Betrayal can be, I'm stuck at home with the kids all day and you come home and you don't even try to give me a break.
Yes. Or you promise.
Or I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I was going to say, or, you know, you were sick, you know, on and off for 2 years and I took care of you and I put everything on hold. Now I'm going through a difficult time and you cheat or you turn away from me because I can't give you all of me.
Yeah. Or you promise to never hurt me, to never make me cry. And here I am crying myself to sleep. By myself.
Right.
It's betrayal. The fourth issue is what I call eggshell walking. And I'm sure a lot of you guys can identify with this. This is when you begin to walk on eggshells so that you don't set off the other person. All of the like unspoken conflicts that have been built up create landmines that you must carefully walk around in order to avoid setting them off. And so you walk on eggshells so that you don't provoke that other person to, you know, blow up and explode. The fifth issue is missing connection. Think of a dropped signal from your cell phone. I hate when that happens. Or when we're on a Skype call with somebody and the internet starts to act crazy. All of a sudden, we're like,
digital.
Yeah. But think of it like that. This is when the connection that you once shared goes missing. Hence, missing connection. The six areas of intimacy goes neglected. And we talked about that a couple episodes ago. But this is when those areas that need to be honed and cultivated, you start to neglect those.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the connection drops. And that often leads to the sixth issue, which is what I call volcano syndrome. In this stage, it's very easy to let things pile up. In stage three, I'm talking about. And especially if you are an eggshell walker. If you're an eggshell walker, that usually means that you're not being able to fully express what's going on the inside. And as a result, there comes a tipping point when you simply can't hold things in anymore.
And just to speak to the eggshell walking and volcano syndrome, I speak about that, you know, in Motivated to Love. And I talk with our standards, those who are standing for their marriage. You cannot walk around on eggshells. You cannot stuff because it's going to come out. It's going to spew out at the worst possible time. That if you don't have anybody else to release to, you should be releasing that to God.
Yes.
You should seek out a support system to be able to, you know, let it out to who's going to pour back into you and pray for you.
Yeah, no, that's good. And activities that you can do to kind of detox from the stress. Because at some point, all of your unspoken emotions that you've been bottling up because you've been walking on eggshells. Oh, guess what? Like Mandy said, they're going to come streaming out.
Right.
And then those emotions, the stuff that comes spewing out, that hot lava that you spew out on your partner is going to start affecting them in a negative way and injuring and harming them in a negative way because your words are powerful. The seventh issue in this area or in this stage is irritability. This is when your emotions become extremely volatile to the extent that your mood changes with the weather. One day you're up, the next day, guess what? You're down. And so just think of those seven things. I want you to kind of see if you're dealing with any of those issues, those seven different issues that often arise when you get stuck in stage three.
And I definitely can see David and I, either one or both of us have dealt with all of those at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. I would concur with that, baby. These seven issues usually intensify the reluctant stage, forcing most people to finally get to a point where you have to make a decision about the relationship in order to escape the pain and in order to find happiness again. Because after all, we're all searching for happiness, the pursuit of happiness. You see how through the movie, like I put, like if they was paying me, that would have been a little plug for them.
You want to call Will?
No, he's okay. But this leads to the fourth state of marriage, by the way. So let's go ahead and dive into the fourth stage and then we're going to wrap up this show. The fourth stage of marriage is called the fight, flight, or freeze stage. Now, you might have heard of fight, flight, or freeze in stage two.
Too many Fs.
Yeah, too many Fs. But you might have heard of that in stage two. All relationships inevitably go through this stage as a way of attempting to cope with the tension that is often produced in stage three. This stage is all about the dubious decision of staying in the relationship versus leaving the relationship. Or, as with marriages, staying married versus getting a divorce. Now, so with me, while Mandy and I were in this stage, I couldn't say the D word or divorce. I couldn't say it. Instead, I went apartment shopping. I still remember that day. I went apartment shopping and I developed a list of things that we would have to split up. And poor Dusty and Ginger were on that list. That's so sad.
They were.
To even think about that you were trying
those
to split
the dogs.
Those are our
dogs, why
would
by
you
the
try
way.
To split the dogs up?
You know what?
Who does that? I'm sorry. That was I was actually thinking of doing that. I know. It was a hard thought, but, you know, that's where I was. Most people in this stage believe that the differences between them and their spouse are so intolerable and fundamental that there's really no way of moving forward with these things, or at least moving forward with these things the way that they are. You've heard of when people get divorced for irreconcilable differences.
Exactly.
That's what this pretty much is meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
Those differences that we just can't come to terms on. Mm-hmm. They are burnt out and extremely disappointed. Most people feel tricked and even manipulated that the person that they are with now isn't the person that they originally signed up for.
You hear that so much.
We do. That's crazy.
Like, and I mean, we understand because we've been there, done that.
I said it. I was guilty of saying it. I was like, you remember my analogy,
the peanut butter and jelly.
You didn't want me to tell him?
No,
you,
that's
you beat
fine.
Me to the punch.
No, it's good. You can, but I think I became confident enough at one point to be able to say it was the same thing for you.
Ooh. Sticks and stones may break my bones.
No. We
I'm rubber, you glue.
Oh, Lord.
But no, that's true. Yeah, we both fooled
both
each
of
other.
Us.
Yeah. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is this, though. Once you have reached this stage, you're not at the end of your rope. So I want you to know that. You're not at the end of your rope. You have merely come to a crossroads where you have to make tons of conscious decisions. Most people, though, are so much more interested in fleeing from the pain that they make haste and bold decisions about the relationship. Is it haste or hasty?
Hasty.
Is hasty? Okay. Most people make hasty and bold decisions about the relationship. See, Mandy got to correct me sometimes, y'all. Pray for me. Anyway. Here are four options that you are faced with while in stage four. Four stages, four options. You like
good
that?
Job.
Okay.
Easy.
But here's four options that you're faced with. Option number one is to separate. And separation could mean separating for a period of time or actually leaving the relationship, getting a divorce, because we're talking about marriage. The second option is to stay and do nothing. That's more like freeze mode, where you stay in a relationship, you put up with this person's stuff, and you just do nothing. Mm-hmm. The third is to lead parallel lives. So that means you guys are staying together, but you're doing
living
your
like
own thing.
Roommates.
Oh, my gosh. We did that.
Yep.
We did that for a time period, for a while. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, you know, the spouse is downstairs sleeping on the couch. Mm-hmm. You upstairs sleeping in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Y'all pass like two ships sailing by each other in the night. No conversation. Separate joint account, separate bank accounts, all that. Y'all living your own life, leading two parallel lives. And the fourth option is to rebuild and create a new, more rewarding partnership. Obviously, that's where we're headed. Mm-hmm. But not everybody ends up there.
Right.
We almost didn't end up there, just to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
Regardless of what decision you make, if you make it too quickly, you will be left with unfinished business. I want you to think about that. For instance, if you leave the relationship in an attempt to escape from the pain without fully exploring and coming to terms with your own, with what your own role in the conflict was, guess what's going to happen? You'll probably choose the same type of person and recreate the same kind of problems all over again.
Yes.
And that is so true. It happens all the time.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, just even in this moment, think about the relationships you have, maybe even before your marriage,
mm-hmm.
and how things ended.
Yeah.
See if you see a pattern.
And that's why if you look at the stats on marriage, 50% of first-time marriages end in divorce, 65% of second-time marriages end in divorce, and 75% of third-time marriages end in divorce. Because people just move on without learning the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And what you mismanage, you lose. If
right.
you don't have information to manage your marriage accordingly, you're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. So just think about that. It's crazy. On the flip side, if you choose to stay in an attempt to avoid feeling rejected or in fear that you'll lose the thing that you've been filling your void with, your relationship may be an empty and miserable shell. Mm-hmm. Or if you take the S off that, empty and miserable, don't cuss at me. No, I'm saying if you take the S off of shell,
it spells a different. Saying, your little self trying to cuss.
No, I'm not cussing, but I'm just saying it's gonna feel like that.
Yeah.
What's it gonna feel like?
Hell.
Stop cut. I hope all y'all witness Mandy curse on air for the first time. I'm officially offended.
Whatever.
And she gonna do it with a smile on her face.
Tell no.
Shell.
No.
Why you cursing me like that? Anyway, y'all pray for y'all sister in Christ because she needs it. Anyway. I recommend answering these difficult and often overlooked questions first before making any moves while you're in stage four. Okay? Remember, stage four is fight, flight, or freeze. And I think you should answer these questions. There are six of them that you should answer, and there could be more, but at least answer these. Question number one is this. What has God said about your marriage? Like, has he validated and confirmed your marriage?
Before, have you sought him?
Have you sought him? Have you, yes.
Have you even included him in this process?
Most people, if you're honest.
We get in our feelings. And we be like, you know what? Yeah. I'm not taking this. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving. I deserve more than this. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Mm-hmm. But where is God in that?
Where's God? And Mandy and I's marriage was confirmed prior to us even getting married. We had a lot of people speaking on behalf of God about our marriage. And the very things that they were saying are the very things that we're doing today. It's crazy.
Yes.
And it was scary. And I didn't want to accept it. So I rejected it. But you can't really reject God's word.
But we had to go through what we went through in order to get here to be able to speak to you.
Yes, that is so true. Aww. Second question is this. Why did you get married in the first place? Now, we actually have a podcast episode, episode number 36. So you can go to mendourmarriage.com/episode36 to learn more about how to properly answer the question of why did I get married? So really, I promise you, it's an empowering question to ask if you ask it objectively. Mm-hmm. Question number three is, what have you contributed to the chaos in your marriage? So what part of this is your responsibility? Why are you trying to blame it on the other person? What have you done? Mm-hmm. How did you contribute to this mess?
Sometimes that can be a hard question to ask, especially if they've done something very hurtful.
Absolutely. Question number four is, are there any health concerns that have to be considered? Like, is your life at risk? Is there abuse, neglect? Is she putting you in any dangerous situation that...
Are your children
at harm or at risk of being harmed? Mm-hmm. Things like that. Because mm-hmm. I've been, I've worked with people who are in abusive relationships, and we have had to recommend that they go and seek counsel
and step away
for safety and security of their own life. Mm-hmm. I've been at the house when the police was there. So it's not a fun thing. Mm-mm. Another question is, what do they want? What does your spouse want? Do they want in the relationship? Do they want out of the relationship? Are you holding them hostage? That's possible. What do they want? Right? And the last question is, are they reluctant about the marriage? And of course, I write a book about that. My book may help you to answer the question of, is your spouse reluctant? And if they are, what type of reluctant spouse are they? And why are they reluctant? Mm-hmm. You can check out that book at unmotivated2love.com to read my book and see what that's all about. Getting through this stage can be long, dreary, and discouraging, especially if you have to do it alone. Now, speaking of doing it alone, I got to do a little bit of a plug, so don't hate me for this, but we actually do have a program. Most people don't know about it because it's really kind of
exclusive.
An exclusive program, but we have a program that we've designed for people who have decided to stand, but they don't want to stand by themselves because there's so many people that are standing for a reluctant spouse and they're doing it by themselves. They don't have a support group. They don't know the strategy.
They've heard God to stand for their marriage, but they're just not sure
they don't know
how
what to
do it.
Yeah, exactly. And so for those of you who are listening, who want to stand, but would like to have more strategy and accountability, this program is for you. It's not for everybody. I'll be honest. It's not for everybody. We actually recommend that people who choose to go through this program are people who've actually purchased our book.
Read both of our books first.
Or, mainly Mandy's book. Definitely reading Mandy's book because it's the language that we use and just the mindset that we have comes from kind of the backbone of what Mandy's book is all about. So if you've made the decision to stand, though, our program is called Overflow. And I know Mandy coined that phrase because the goal is to help you to stand out of a position of overflow. Think of a cup that's running over. Mm-hmm. Bible talks about that. Right. And having overflow. It's easier to love when you're overflowing with love.
Exactly.
And most people in this situation are depressed, are sad. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for them to demonstrate unconditional love because they're...
You cannot give what you do not have.
Exactly. You don't have it. You can't give it.
And it has to come from a place, you know, from you spending time with God and from the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Yeah. And now we're already working with tons of great standards. So space, like I said, is kind of limited because this is more of an exclusive thing for people who've purchased the book. But if this is you, and again, this is not for everybody, so I'm not trying to plug it and pitch it to everybody. But if this is you, check it out for yourself. You can go to overflowme.com. That's overflowme.com, all one word. And you can learn more about the program. You can read testimonials, listen to testimonials. We've been seeing tremendous, tremendous changes in the lives of the standards that we've been working with and in their marriages. But again, check it out for yourself. For those individuals who have decided to rebuild their relationship. So let's say you've moved past or you're moving past stage four with or without overflow. You're doing the stuff that you need to do. And you're rebuilding the relationship. Your spouse, they've come to terms with the fact that they want to rebuild the relationship as well. Stage five is the next natural destination. It is this stage that becomes the point of emphasis for establishing the foundation that will support your marriage indefinitely. Now, in episode 50, we get into 50. It took us long
50th
enough.
Anniversary.
But in episode 50, we're going to celebrate. But also, we'll conclude the three-part series by discussing the last two stages of marriage, stages 5 and 6. And these are the more favorable, pretty stages. Stage 3, stage 4, those are the rough stages. So you won't want to miss this episode. But until then, guys, we'll end here because we've been in your ear long enough. We'll end here. Expect episodes every other week for now on. That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
That's every other week. And usually they're going to come out on, Fridays? This episode is a little late, but we're going to try to produce them and have them out every other Friday. Just putting that out there so you guys can hold us accountable. But anyway, we appreciate your time. This was fun. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Go to mendourmarriage.com/episode49 to leave your comments, to ask any questions that you may have, and we'll make sure to get you the answers and respond. You can also subscribe in iTunes. Please subscribe in iTunes and leave an honest rating and review. Mm-hmm. That way more people can see the show and listen to the show. Feel free to share it on Facebook, right? And on Twitter or wherever else you can share it. Give it to another marriage. If you don't need this information, which you should, but if you don't, give it to another marriage who you believe needs this information. But in any case, guys, we love you. We appreciate the time that you give us every other week.
Yes.
And I guess we out.
We're
done. Deuce, baby.